Welcome into today's show, everyone. We are going to be talking about the self-directed IRA. What the heck is it? How can you use it to explode your wealth? That's the focus of today's show. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And this is the show where we help you build financial intelligence, financial freedom. Our goal is to help you walk away from this episode and be a little smarter, right? A little bit more of a genius, right? In your family.
Yes. We're teaching you to use some of the things that are already in your house, maybe. Probably most people have these things, and learn to leverage them better than just like automate some savings from your paycheck and let it hang out there and hope the stock market does well.
Right.
Based on the midterm elections and just do this, right? That's not a plan.
No, that's not
towards
a plan
wealth. So we're going to give you a real plan.
And today we're super excited. We've got one of our team members from Morris Invest on here who handles setting up all the self-direction accounts and really walks clients through exactly how all of this works. So he's our resident sort of in-house expert on how self-direction works. It's Haley Neely. She's been kind enough to join us today to give us all the expertise, and she's going to be answering a lot of your questions a little bit later in today's show. Haley, welcome into the show.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks so much for doing this. We thought, who better than the person who literally helps people set up their accounts and who walks through this entire process with people, who knows the power of self-direction inside and out. So I guess first, let's just open it up to you and give us like a high level. If you're having a, you know, you're having a dinner party with family and friends, you're like, Haley, I know you're always involved in this. What is this, like, self-directed thing you do? And you're sitting there having Thanksgiving dinner with a bunch of people. How would you describe what a self-directed IRA is, and why should people care?
So really, all that a self-directed account is it is a retirement vehicle that is going to allow you to invest in alternative asset classes. So it's just not confining you to those conventional boxes like stocks, bonds, mutual funds. It's going to open that door and allow you to select the investments that maybe you know and understand. And some of those creative investment options are things like oil and gas, gold and silver, livestock, if you're from Tennessee, like myself. But really what we're talking about here is real estate and the benefits that real estate can offer you inside of a self-directed IRA account.
So it's a regular IRA, just like a lot of people have. It's the same type of bucket, right? The government recognizes all IRAs the same. Some are Roth, some are traditional. But it's just sort of a way to take the bucket that everyone's got and then buy different things, just not stock, right?
That's exactly right. So you're going to see the same contribution limits, same distribution limits that you're typically seeing on those regular IRAs that most individuals have. But it is just going to open the doors to those different investment classes. So it's still a qualified retirement account in the eyes of the IRS.
So one thing we should mention, you know, when I was leaving the world of television and I had my Fidelity account, and you know, you say to them, well, I want
you had
to,
a 401k.
I had a 401k, but a lot of people may have, you know, an IRA with one of these traditional banks, you know, a Fidelity or Wells Fargo or
Scott Trade
or something. And they might go to them and say, hey, I've heard about self-directed IRAs. I want to move my money out of this account into a self-directed IRA. That's why I want to cash it out. Can you send a check this afternoon? And these companies very often will say to you, well, we offer a self-directed IRA. And that is a total lie, isn't it, Haley?
It is. Yes. Yeah. So there is a difference between what traditional brokers of broker companies are going to tell you is a self-directed IRA and what's truly self-directed. So some brokers out there, they're going to say, oh, we offer a self-directed account. And all that really does is just allows you to invest in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and you can select those versus having your broker do that for you. But what a true self-directed account does is allows you to say, hey, I want to invest into real estate for my retirement inside of my retirement account. So you can actually have your IRA purchase that property. So your IRA, for example, owns 22 Main Street, and everything that 22 Main Street generates is just going to flow right back into that retirement account.
Yeah, we've had, because what they mean is when like a Fidelity is like, well, we have a self-directed account here that you can use. What they're actually saying is that you can invest in some stocks that are real estate based. Like,
well, they're saying we're going to give you like a buffet of mutual funds and stock market accounts. You could even cherry pick stocks if you want to individually.
Right.
And then you can choose within the finite amount of choices inside the stock market. But if you said to them, oh, great, you offer self-direction? Great, because I'd like to buy this property. They're going to be like, no, we don't do that.
Right.
This is not the right place for you.
Right. So, Haley, you have the power then to be able to come back and say, okay, no, I actually want to take that money out of this account and move it into a truly self-directed account. So what are the benefits? Let's go into some of the benefits now of what a self-directed account offers people.
Yeah. So the big benefit, I mean, there are tons of benefits out there, and I could just talk all day long about the benefits of self-direction, of course, because I'm an advocate for it. But the big benefit, and what I've really noticed with individuals who elect to self-direct, is just the sense of empowerment that it gives them and the control that it also gives you. Because what it's essentially doing is just putting that ball back in your court and allowing you to kind of take the reins and select investments that you feel are going to get you further for retirement. And I think that's a huge point, because like, who is going to care more about your retirement account than you are? And that's what self-direction really does. So, you know, number one, I would definitely say is the big benefit is the empowerment and the control that it gives you to select your own investments. Also the protection that it can provide, because it does offer that true diversification from stocks and bonds. So it's that idea and that concept of going back to don't put all your eggs in one basket. And so self-direction gives you that true diversification as well. But I would say the biggest thing is that it's really easy. A lot of people think that self-direction is something that's difficult, a difficult process, but it's simply not any longer. So they've really streamlined it.
Right. And I find it's a great place to get started as a real estate investor or an investor in any kind of performing asset, because it's money you're not used to living on. So if you start and you buy a property with money, say, in your savings account, and you're used to having access to that, that can be a little uncomfortable. But the IRA, I know I can't touch that for another 20 plus years at least, right? So I'm comfortable trying out a new investment there because it's not a part of my daily financial life.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And the self-direction is one of those options that I typically recommend if individuals are just kind of tipping their toes in to see if real estate is for them. Then the self-direction is a great option, because just like you mentioned, Natalie, it's not funds that you're actually utilizing. You're not tying up any of your own personal resources. It's already in that account, and why not put it to work for yourself?
So if you're just joining us live here on the show today, we've got Haley Neely from our team from Morris Invest, who really helps people get all sort set up with their self-directed accounts. So if you go to our website and you book a call with our team and you select the option of doing self-direction or tapping into your retirement account funds, you'll be connected with Haley and as a specialist to walk you through that process. So give us an overview. If someone did like book a call with you and was, you know, had some money sitting in an IRA that's not performing and they want to move it over to a self-directed account, what might that phone call look like with you to get set up for the first time?
Yeah, so first and foremost, what I really like to do is to kind of dive into what the clients are looking to accomplish. So what are you looking to accomplish? Is self-direction really going to offer that benefit? Run me through your retirement accounts. Which ones are performing? Which ones maybe aren't performing? And do you want to reallocate or diversify? And then from there, you know, once we determine self-direction is a good fit, the process is pretty easy. We can actually set an account up, and I can do that for you over the phone in a matter of about 8 to 10 minutes. And you would just need basic information, like if you were going down to your local banking account to establish an account or something like that. But we'll go in, we'll plug that information in, it'll comprise an application for you, send it over, you'll just review and DocuSign. From there, you're ready to kind of start that transfer or rollover process. And that's something you can do just by speaking with your financial institution. I'm always free to jump on a call to make sure that we're asking those correct questions as well and what paperwork is needed. And we'll help you execute the paperwork. And then you're looking at about 7 to 10 business days typically for that transfer to occur.
Oh, that's nice, because that's not an easy process. We've called a couple of traditional custodians like a Scott Trade, and we're like, we want this money rolled over into a self-direction and a different custodian. And they're like, no, we do that. And then they really push back on you and they ask some sort of hard questions. So it'd be so nice to have a buddy on to support you. Because I think when I first did it, I was like, no, I'm going to do this. Okay, I'm going to do this. And if I had had someone with me, to, you know, like jump in and be like, no, they've decided this. This is how it's, you know, just someone
to advocate.
Like,
yeah.
Really like give the right language. You know, sometimes when a bank's trying to intimidate you, you fall over your words, like I am maybe a little right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've seen that all too often. So I always say, you know, if you give them a call and you're saying, no, you can't do this, and you definitely can do this with your account, I'll jump on there. I'll make sure that we get it executed. I'll ask the right questions to make sure the paperwork is filled out correctly. So that's not a lengthy process as well for you.
I wonder if you want to share some stories about banks pushing back. And
is it like trying to cancel your cable
or your gym membership?
Right. Well, like,
where you gotta get a little mean mama on them. Like, I know I can do this. Don't tell me no.
Right. Right. And I have had that conversation before with custodians, with other financial institutions. It's like, now this is their money. You know, they want to move this money over. What we need to do to get this taken care of.
Yeah. Well, let's talk now about some of the asset classes and certain things that you're buying inside the IRA. So we prefer, you know, we buy real estate. We have some notes inside of our self-directed IRA where we've lent money out at a certain return. But buying real estate inside of a self-directed account, let's just talk about why that is such an amazing wealth-building strategy from a tax perspective, as well as there's multiple ways you make money with having real estate inside of your self-directed account, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So with real estate, what you're basically doing is you have that investment property. It's just flowing back in there, and it's acting as a tax sheltered account because it's inside of that IRA. And then some other really interesting things, neat things that you can do in there is you can actually leverage inside of your IRA. And you can do that by way of non-recourse financing, which is an asset-based financing that you can pretty much, it works perfect for self-directed investors because the IRS says, you know, you can't actually use the traditional form of financing inside of there. So it's secure on the asset.
And not to interrupt you, but let's pretend like I'm a 5-year-old and I just wandered into this conversation. I'm like, Haley, what are you talking about? What is going on?
Yep.
So explain that to me like I'm a 5-year-old, because I am. What does that mean? So if I have $70,000 in my self-directed account, okay, my self-directed IRA, I can use that as leverage and also get traditional financing or some other kind of financing, non-recourse financing from a lending institution to also buy a bigger asset, right? I'm not just limited by what's in my account, is what you're saying.
Right. So you use it as a down payment for a loan.
Yes, that's exactly right. So you're actually able to take like that $70,000 and maybe turn it into $150,000 with some of that leverage. So maybe you're purchasing a property that is valued a little higher, the rents are a little higher, and it offsets that loan value in there for you as far as your cash return is concerned. But that's essentially what you're doing, is you're just using your balance inside your IRA towards a down payment on a property, and you're able to use someone else's money to then make money.
That's great. Now talk about the tax benefits. So we just talked about that ability is leverage, but the tax benefits of having that grow till you're 59 and a half, right?
Exactly. So it acts like a tax deferred account, your self-directed, and depending on what type of account you're setting up, it could be tax deferred or tax free, because you can have those Roth accounts as well inside of there. But you can also avoid capital gains taxes inside of a self-directed. So that's where it's really powerful also for you, is basically when you sell that property, you're not subject to that gains and the taxes on those gains.
What is the length of time that you'd have to hold a property in a self-directed account? Would it matter? I mean, if I was a flipper, for instance, and I bought a property for $50,000, I flipped it for $150,000 inside of my IRA. Can I do that regularly, as quickly as I want?
So you could, but the one thing with flipping the properties, it's with self-direction, you're meant to have that arm's length approach in self-direction. So you actually going in, doing the work yourself, things like that. It's not something you can necessarily do. You can't manage the property yourself. You can't allow family members to live in there. So all those prohibited transactions. So when you're talking about turnkey, that's where you can really add some value inside of a self-directed account.
So it's buying because, a turnkey property, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because you're already set up to mitigate any risk with those prohibited transactions occurring.
Right. Because you're not doing the rehab. You're not doing the property management. Just the asset is cash flowing inside of your self-directed account. Now, one question.
Well, what if in theory, let's say you bought a house and you were going to rent it out, but then the next day the neighbor of the house said, well, I wanted to buy that house and put my daughter in there and I'll pay you $50,000 more. So you did actually flip it, but you didn't intend to. There's still not a tax on that profit, right? Even if you didn't manage it or buy it for that intention, right?
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
It would fall under that.
You can flip it as long as you're not an active flipper. Right.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
Yes. All right.
Interesting.
All right. So let's talk about some questions here. What if am I going to be taxed if I pull the funds out of that account?
No. So there wouldn't, the short answer, no, you shouldn't be taxed because, you know, even though you haven't hit that age 59 and a half that a lot of brokerage firms are going to tell you, oh, you're not 59 and a half, you can't move those funds over. What's happening is you're simply moving it from one qualified retirement account to another qualified retirement account, and that is not a taxable event. So no need to worry about the 10% early distribution tax or being taxed at your income for pulling funds out because you're not actually pulling them out at all.
Because that money never even touches your fingers. Like it goes wired from one custodian to another. It doesn't even, like, they don't send me a check and then I send it to the new custodian because that would just maybe be too tempting. Like it never, you don't have a choice, right?
Right. Now, some custodians out there, so like Fidelity, for example, I've worked with them quite a bit. They do sometimes with a rollover, they'll send you the check and then it's made out to the new custodian. So you would just send that directly to your account.
But they don't make it out to me and then I deposit it and write a check. There's no there's no possibility that I could cash that check and start using it and then incur a taxable event.
Today's episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. Hey, do you guys want to get a free video doorbell? Well, stick around to the end of this. I'll tell you how you can do it. Simply Safe blankets your whole home with protection. You may have seen their commercial during the Super Bowl, during the big game. Well, if you didn't, you can find it online. Yes, Simply Safe had a Super Bowl ad. They have around-the-clock professional monitoring. Make sure police are on the way when you need them. The security sensors are tiny. They blend in with your home so you won't even notice them. So let me just give you an example of how much I love Simply Safe. The other day, I was in the middle of doing something. I was about 2 hours away from home. My wife was away from home and the pest control guy came to our house and went in our door. And guess what? The alarm went off. I got the Simply Safe notification right on my phone. Then they called and I was able to jump right in and look at the camera. And sure enough, it was the pest control guy. My wife didn't tell me that he was coming there, so we didn't turn off the alarm. He set off the alarm. And then, we were able to get it remedied and it was all good to go. I saw him leave. We closed it up. And remotely, 2 hours away, I was able to turn on the alarm once again, right from the phone. The security sensors are just tiny. They're up in the corner of the room. So we have one up in the, like for a motion sensor in the kitchen, and it picked up everything. The Verge calls Simply Safe the best home security system, and it's a wire cutter top pick. And guess what? Right now, if you go over to simplysafe.com/investing, simplysafe.com/investing, you're going to get a free video doorbell. That's right. You can build your system, and before President's Day, you can get your free video doorbell. Create your own custom home security in minutes. All you need to do is go and pick, and you can choose what items you want for your house based on the type of house you have. So we mix and match some different items in our house, and it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. That's the beauty of it. So check them out. Go to simplysafe.com/investing. Try it, test it, love it, or return it.
That's their policy. Thanks, Simply Safe. Love you guys.
So I want to open it up to some questions from our audience. We've got a lot of great questions, so thank you so much. We are talking about the self-directed IRA. We've got our team member Haley here, who is an expert on setting up your self-directed accounts. And you can go to our website, morrisinvest.com, and you go through, we ask like 8 questions in the front, and one of them is, how do you plan to, you know, purchase property? And if you click on the one that says, you know, use your retirement account, or set up a self-directed account, or that's how you want to do it, and you'll work with we'll work with our specialists on that. So we got a lot of great questions, Haley. You ready for some good ones here?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Here's one from Lindsay. Says, if my mom says I can get a self-directed IRA through them, is that good enough?
My
job. I read it wrong.
Oh, I was. Your mom can't be a custodian.
My mom is awesome. If my job says I can get a self-directed IRA through them, is that good enough?
So some companies are starting to offer self-directed options. I would just make sure that you're asking the right questions. So is this a truly self-directed account? Do I have the ability to invest in alternative assets? Could I buy a property, for instance, inside of there, a piece of deeded real estate? And so those are some questions that you're going to want to ask. Mm-hmm. But some companies out there, they are starting to offer self-directed accounts. So it's possible.
Yeah. When I was leaving my day job and I called Fidelity and I said, you know, I want to move it to a self-directed account. They said, well, we offer self-direction. And I said, really? I said, can I buy properties? That's what I do. That's what I do. My wife and I buy properties. Can I buy a piece of real estate inside my IRA? He said, no, but you could invest in a stock.
A REIT
that invests in real estate. I was like, no. Not doing that.
And, you know, one of the things I really like about self-directed IRAs is the fee structure is crystal clear. Like, it's written out when we pay this bill for you or we make a new transaction for you, this is exactly how much it will cost. This is what the yearly fees are. So it's not a percentage. Some do charge a percentage, in which case you know that right out too. But a lot of times in a stock-based IRA, you're paying fees on transactions that you never know happen nor authorize.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that is one thing with the self-direction is it can help mitigate all those hidden fees that you're paying right now, maybe with your brokerage account you're not even aware of. But most of the custodians out there, they're going to do it one of two ways. One is the set fee structure, which is, you know, what we love is that set fee structure.
Yeah, me
too. There's no surprises on what you're going to pay. Or they're doing the tiered method, kind of based off the amount of assets you have held within there or the amount that you have held in the account.
Yeah. And I also do a little extra ninja trick and pay those fees outside of the IRA because I want the tax deduction on the fees right now. And I don't want to deduct from my earnings. I want my IRA burning and churning. And that's allowed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can pay the fees outside, and then that's basically just an expense of setting up the account, and that is taxable. So,
yeah.
That's great. Well, we got a ton of questions here. Liz Scruggs, I love that name, from Michigan. We were just in Michigan.
We were. Hello from Michigan.
Hello from Michigan. And it was like 85 degrees.
In October.
Come on. What's going on, Michigan? Liz Scruggs says, can you please talk about taking a tax hit of converting to a self-directed IRA, especially if the current IRA return is low at about a 2%? I mean, most people's IRAs, let's be honest, don't perform. They're sitting there at like a 1 or 2% return.
Yeah,
they're not making money. When you put it into real estate and you start making 8 to 10 to 12% return, that's why you do self-direction. So can you answer that question for Liz on the tax hit?
So you wouldn't really be seeing a tax hit. That's kind of the benefit with self-direction. You're not going to pay that 10% early distribution tax because it's just moving right over into that account. So in theory, you're not seeing any taxation occurring when you're simply moving those funds over.
Great, great.
Yeah, it's not a withdrawal. It's just moving from one government-approved bucket into the same government-approved bucket with a different, like, company label on the outside of the bucket, right?
That's exactly right. That's a good way to put it.
Haley, while Clayton is looking for more questions, I want to ask about the distinction between a Roth and a traditional IRA because Clayton last year, when he rolled his 401k into an IRA, it was traditional. And we did not want that. We wanted a Roth. And so we took the tax hit. Actually, we did it after January so that we could pay it at a lower rate because of the 2018 tax rate. But I'm sure people have that question all the time. If they're just starting to set one up, what is your advice on traditional versus Roth?
So it's really depending on what you're looking to accomplish. But yeah, of course, if you have a Roth account, then that's great, because anything that you make in that account, it's growing in there tax-free. And say if you have a traditional account, you can just do that conversion, which would make you basically pay the taxes on it today so that you don't have to pay them tomorrow, is the way that I would explain it. But yeah, that's pretty much it. There's not a big distinction between the Roth or, you know, there's different theories on whether the Roth is better or the traditional account is better. But ultimately, I would say the Roth wins out, because if you're doing real estate, the goal is that in retirement, you are going to be at a higher tax bracket.
Right.
So when you're pulling those funds out, you're probably going to be at a higher tax bracket. So the benefit is the Roth.
You know, right. And I had this big fight with my dad over this, because I was like, Dad, if we have a Roth and we have a property inside and that rental income is cash flowing, then I want to pay tax on the seed and not the crop. Like, think of this, you know, amount it took to buy the property as the seed. And then over 20 years, I've been making rent, and then it's a Roth. So I already paid taxes on the money that I put in. So then when I take it out, I am not taxed on the crop. And he was like, that can't be possible. Everything you earn is going to be taxed later. And I was like, no, it's not. But am I right, or is my dad right?
No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And because you'll be taxed on it when you pull it out as income, but if you're taxed, if you pull it out as a Roth, you're not taxed on it. No, with a traditional, you'd be taxed in retirement, essentially.
Right.
So, yeah, so you've got 20 years of cash flow coming in from a tenant into this self-directed IRA account. And when you cash it out at 59 and a half, you don't
pay
taxes.
You'll have never paid taxes on the rental income.
It's amazing.
Like, ever, right?
Such an amazing strategy.
It's so hard to believe.
We got some questions here. See, she's right. I don't want your head to get too big. I did see someone says, now, Natalie, be nice to Clayton today. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. She picks on me a lot. Art of Tracking says, this is their screen name. Art of Tracking says, how are taxes on the profit from self-direction? Which I think we just answered that.
Well,
right?
Well, yeah, we just answered it. I suppose it depends on the iteration of IRA, right?
Yeah, so it depends on the type of account that you have, because the only taxation that you're really going to see is just in retirement if you're in a traditional account, when you pull that out as income. So that would be the taxation that you would be
right.
seeing.
But you do pay taxes on the property. The property will still incur property taxes. And so talk us through how you pay those.
So the way that we would have it set up is you would basically, your custodian would pay that for you. So you would just fill out a form that basically says, tells your custodian, pay X, Y, and Z for X, Y, and Z property. And that's all taken care of through the custodian.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be. You can't do it. You're not allowed with your own personal Clayton Morris bank account to pay the taxes. The IRA, the self-directed IRA account custodian has to pay those property taxes. And if there's a sidewalk that needs repair or those types of things, a furnace needs to be updated in the property, that has to come out of that account.
Now, that doesn't mean they make the payment for, like, they don't pay it out of their bank account. They pay it out of your IRA account. But they actually issue it from inside of your bucket.
You're just not allowed to touch it.
You can't do it. Right. If like when I first started, I said, oh, you know, can I pay this and then you pay me back? And they were like, no, because you could get in big trouble for that. Right.
Yeah, that would be back to that commingling of funds. So your IRA is completely separate entity of your personal funds.
All right. We got a bunch of other questions here. Get your self-directed IRA questions in here into the live chat. We've got a lot of people. We've got hundreds of people watching from around the world. It's great to see. Kieran is from South Africa. Nice to see you. Melissa Nevich. I hope I'm saying your last name correctly. Melissa, she says, would you use a self-directed IRA or a QRP to buy a business. So you're buying, she wants to buy a business, maybe a car wash or something. I love the car wash business, yeah. Like Walter White from Breaking Bad. So she wants to buy a business. She could do that inside of her self-directed IRA, right?
Yeah, most definitely. You can buy a business with inside of a self-directed IRA.
Mm-hmm. Great. So there you go.
Yeah, you can set your account up a lot of different ways as well. So I just set one up the other day through a trust. So we set it up as a trust.
Great. The Art of Tracking asks another question. The IRA has to become an LLC and you're the manager of it. So are you, we buy a lot of rental properties in LLCs, which are outside of our self-directed IRA. But when you're buying it inside of a self-directed IRA, are you setting up an LLC to do it?
You can. And that would be called a checkbook controlled IRA. And the real reason you would want to do that is it just gives you the ability to write checks from your IRA account. I don't always recommend it just because if you're not real familiar with those prohibited transactions, you can get yourself in trouble if you write checks willy-nilly. But if you're a comfortable business owner and this isn't your first rodeo, then you can absolutely, you know, add that LLC to the self-directed account. And that just basically means you can write checks without having to go through your custodian to execute those.
But okay. What about the liability? That's a really good question because, you know, we own a few properties inside of our IRAs and we buy insurance and the insurance is named, you know, the custodial for the benefit of Clayton Morris IRA. And so those insurance bills are paid through the custodian. But what if we're sued for something, some kind of gross negligence? Let's say we are terrible landlords and tenant tells us, well, the electrical panel's out and it's not to code. And we say, so what? Run power from the city grid. You know, you'll be fine. And then something bad happens and it blows up their refrigerator or something like that. So then I would be liable. They could sue my IRA, right? They could sue for the value of the IRA. Could they go past it?
Well, that's the great thing is that your IRA is actually a separate entity of yourself altogether.
Okay.
So it would be basically suing the IRA, not necessarily you because you're not the owner. The IRA is the owner. The LLC does add an extra layer of protection. So, you know, for individuals that, you know, are looking at that, wanting that extra protection, then I'd always say just go ahead and add the LLC in
Great.
There for that extra
okay.
layer of protection.
That's not that hard to do. It's
Great
like
question.
One extra step.
No, not at all. It's basically
yeah.
just.
But also you should be a good landlord and buy your insurance.
We've got
yeah.
a couple of really great questions here I want to get to. So, let's see. Steve Fontes says, self-directed IRA versus a 401k loan in terms of flexibility. What has more flexibility? So to be clear, a 401k loan, right? You're working for a company. You can take a loan out of your 401k to yourself and you pay it back out of your payroll, right? We've done that. Or a self-directed IRA, which is what we've been talking about today. What offers more flexibility? I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a weird, not a weird question. It's a good question, but they're kind of, it's two different things, right, Haley?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly what I would say. You're probably going to utilize them they're completely different. If you're taking the loan, then most definitely you're probably looking at purchasing properties outside of the IRA. There's probably more flexibility in that because you're not subject to any of those prohibited transactions that you have to make sure that you're in compliance with. But the real benefit with self-direction is just that you're not paying yourself back a loan. You're simply utilizing the money that you already have.
Right.
And so that's the freedom in the self-direction, and you're not paying any taxes on it as well.
Right. All right. Martel Gaines asks this question. Can you use the funds from your self-directed IRA to pay off credit card balances?
No. So you wouldn't want to take your self-directed IRA account and then use it for anything personal. So that goes back to those prohibited transactions, commingling of funds. You don't want to do that. Definitely
okay.
don't want to do that.
Good answer. Joni Martin writes, I'm getting a lump sum from my pension. Should I roll it over to a Roth IRA to buy real estate or to a traditional IRA?
If you have the option for a Roth, I would always say go the Roth route, especially if you're looking at investing into real estate.
Right. Yeah. Because, again, some of the things we talked about today, the tax benefits and otherwise, right? So you're not paying taxes on that. at 59 and a half at a later date.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's probably the biggest reason, right?
For me, yeah. I mean, I don't...
Unless you plan on retiring more poor, you know, or poorer than you are now, then you'd be in a lower tax bracket when you retire. But I think we all want to be in that highest tax bracket when
you retire. It feels so amazing to see in your account, like, 22 Main Street paid its rent. Here's $500 or so. And I know that I will never pay taxes on that $500. Yeah, it's a buzz. It's great.
Luke Wilson writes us, if you bought a rental with your IRA, self-directed IRA, and then years later you choose to live in that house, how would that work? Would that be a problem?
Yes, you can actually live in the property that's owned inside of your self-directed IRA. And so that's not something that you would want to do for sure.
Great.
Yeah.
Even if years later, even if you didn't intend on doing it, right? It's just one of those things that the IRS is going to slap you for.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Perfect. Let me see how many other questions. Is there anything else you wanted to ask while I'm looking up some other questions? Here's one. Oh, Edward writes this. Can you take a HELOC or a cash out refinance on a rental property that's bought with IRA money? So if you bought a property for $50,000, you put $20,000 into it, but and maybe now it's worth $100,000. And you wanted to refinance that house, could you do that inside of a self-directed account?
So you can refinance inside of the self-directed account, but the types of financing that you're going to be looking to utilize is going to be things like the non-recourse financing, private financing, things like that. Because you can actually use
an asset bank.
Typical bank financing. You want to use asset-based financing in order to refinance.
Is it because the banks won't do it because there's no personal guarantee inside the IRA?
That's exactly right, because you're not personally guaranteeing that property. So what the lenders normally will do with the financing is they'll actually go in, do their own due diligence, and kind of determine what the property qualifies for, and then you can simply use that in order to leverage.
We've got some good questions here about QRPs. So Rob Harwood wants to know, which is a qualified retirement plan, also known as a checkbook IRA. What are your opinions on going the QRP route? We had someone ask earlier, should you buy a business in the self-directed IRA? Can you, or a QRP? What's the difference?
The QRP, so just the checkbook controlled accounts and a regular self-directed account.
Yeah, I think that they're just saying, is it better to go, you know, qualified retirement plan, also known as a checkbook IRA, is one better than the other?
I wouldn't say that one's necessarily better than the other. It just depends on what you're looking to do, really, what you're looking to do, what you're looking to accomplish, on which one's going to work best for you. But the checkbook controlled, it's just giving you the ability to write checks from that account and to kind of oversee it and manage it more so than having to go directly to the custodian to execute any transactions.
A lot of times, this is a great question because someone's asking what kind of things you can buy inside of the IRA. Scroll down a little. I want to read that question.
Okay.
I think they're saying, the credit card. No.
Does the appraisal get paid from
the appraisal?
IRA?
Yeah. So let's say you wanted to buy a property and you got it appraised. Could you pay for that as a fee outside? This was something, actually, we were thinking of selling one of our IRA properties and we ordered an appraisal just to see what it'd be worth to sell it. And I was like, you better send me that bill so I could send to the custodian because I don't think I could pay that outside of it, right? I didn't want to get in trouble.
I would keep everything inside of the IRA is what I always suggest. Like when in doubt, just go ahead and have it pay through your IRA.
Yeah.
But there are things that you can pay outside of the IRA. I've seen that before and it's not a big trigger or anything like that, but I would always pay it inside.
Because that one's so tricky, the appraisal, because it's my research to figure out what I want to do with that asset. But it is relating to that asset. It's not all that often that I have to pay bills for that asset because the property manager keeps an escrow account for most types of things. So if it needs a light bulb or, you know, some plumbing work, they take it out of future rent. So I don't have to go like authorizing purchases of light bulbs through my IRA. Exactly. Most of the time I'm just paying the taxes and the insurance and then receiving money from my property manager. But that one actually made me scratch my head. I thought that was such a good question. Thank you for asking it, because I wasn't sure myself.
Yeah. And we have another question here from Rhino31. Can I loan my business the capital needed to buy a foreclosure or a flip? Can I loan my business the capital? So could he take his Rhino self-directed IRA and loan it to his Rhino LLC, which does flips? Can he do that?
Yes. Yeah, so you can actually loan through your business and everything. So you can loan that. Those funds
to a business you own,
to his own business, or that is that a prohibitive?
Well, yeah, you wouldn't want to loan the money to yourself. Absolutely not. No, you don't want to loan the money to yourself, but you can loan money, like debt. You can service debt inside of your IRA account.
Yeah, just to be clear though, because he's talking about loaning it to his own business, so he can't loan it to himself, even because he's a principal owner of the LLC. That would be a prohibitive.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Great. We got a ton of great questions. Let's see. Alex wants to know, you can distribute the property and pay taxes on it. You can live in the property, right?
Oh, if you wanted to move into it, you'd have to distribute it outside of your IRA. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Any final questions here? Any final thoughts? Jayla wants to know, do you do just one LLC on each property when you're working with a self-directed IRA? That's a great question, because like for our LLCs, often we'll own 3, 4, 5, 6 properties in an LLC. Do you recommend just setting up one LLC per property in a self-directed account?
I'd say most of the clients that I work with, they would use one LLC attached to that account in order to purchase the properties inside of. So normally it's just one attached to the account, but you can also have multiple retirement accounts as well.
And then the filing fees and the legal fees are something else you'll have to keep track of then, right? You have to make sure you pay those outside or inside rather of the IRA.
Yes, inside. Uh-huh.
One senior says, contact information, please, with exclamation marks. So it's very simple. If you want to connect with Haley on our team who does all the self-direction, it's very, very simple. You just go to morrisinvest.com. And when you answer click on the book a call button and you answer the 8 questions. If you answer the question about setting up retirement funds, or you're going to buy the property with retirement, or you're going to use a self-directed account, you'll connect with Haley and the team, and she'll take care of you, get you all set up. One other question was, do you work with other reputable self-directed custodians? Who do you work with? We've worked with Advanta. They do a great job. Can you name some other ones that you've worked with that you partner with on this?
Yeah, we work with all of them. So any custodian that you're comfortable with, you know, we're going to help you through that process. So some big name ones, Advanta, of course. Since Financial is another one I know that's been on the show before.
We've had Advanta. We've had Scott from Advanta. Mm-hmm. We've had Sense Financial on our show. Those are both great suggestions. Yeah. And Haley can connect you with those. I mean, so you can do it in reverse, or you can, it depends on how you want to do it. You can talk with Haley. She's super knowledgeable and she'll take care of you. Let's see.
Qualify for an IRA is just to have earned income, right? So I'm sure you've worked with people of all age groups, right? You can start them young even.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I would say with younger individuals, they're changing jobs much more than, you know, individuals in the past when they're in their jobs. So they have more of those accounts that are probably going to qualify in order to self-direct as well.
Yeah, great.
Annette Grimes says, how do I find someone knowledgeable in self-directed IRAs like our own Haley here that won't just try to sell me on their other products to invest in? You know, what our company does is real estate. So, you know, if you're not interested in investing in real estate, then don't book a call with us. I mean, that's the bottom line, right? I mean,
right.
So, but that you're buying property that's rehabbed, renovated, cash flowing with a property management team at a certain return on investment inside of your self-directed account. Now, what would you suggest to Annette? When you call like Advanta, they don't have something they're not selling you on self-storage.
They don't tell you at all what to.
Yeah, you can buy gold, you can buy whatever you want. They don't tell you what to buy.
And there are times when I ask them, can I do this? And they're very familiar with the rules and they're like, nope, you can't do this, or yes, you can. And yeah, that it's truly self-directed. It's totally up to you.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, most custodians that I've worked with, they do not offer advice in the way of investments. They don't sell anything in the way of investments. So that's the beauty of self-direction. It's all on you to, you know, if you want to go set the account up, you can do that very easily, but it's all on you to make that choice and that decision. And then you tell them what you want to invest in.
So Annette is asking, she says, no, sorry, she meant stocks. And so Annette, what I would recommend, I think you must have come in late to today's show, go back and rewatch the replay. You can watch this to your heart's content. Please go and share this with family members. You can watch the replay once we get it cleaned up and published. So you can go on our channel and subscribe. It'll be there. But what she's saying is, if she calls up Fidelity, and she's like, so again, go back to the beginning of today's show. I think one big takeaway, I hope, for a lot of you is that, you know, like Fidelity, these other companies, Scottrade, those are not self-directed IRAs. Those are what they call self-directed because they're giving you a choice of stocks to invest from. No, 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 no. We're talking a true self-directed IRA. It's a totally different vehicle and way more powerful. So, yeah, please go back and check. Just ask Fidelity. Say, hey, I'd like to roll this over to a company that doesn't tell me what to invest in, like Advanta or Sense Financial or one of the other custodians.
Yeah. And, you know, another example of true freedom is that Clayton, for instance, he purchased this off-market property for $10,000 in Reading, Pennsylvania a couple years ago. And he put in, I want to say, about
17, I think.
Yeah, something like that. It needed a good amount of work, right? So it took us maybe all in about $25,000. And then in the last 5 years, it's been cash flowing. It rents for $600. Well, 600 times 12 times 5, now he's got, not only he paid that cash, but he's got now a lot more cash from the rental. And the IRA does not tell us what to do. Now it's my responsibility to take those earnings and put it in another place that I think is going to pay off. That's my goal, right? Is to just, I don't want those profits hanging out there. So I got to find another investment. And guess who that's up to? Us.
Right. So we just invested in stuff that's like in the 60,000 range that we're buying. So I know that that's going to spit off about 900 a month in, you know, in rent and cash flow.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what, I mean, that's what we do all day long.
So every so often I have to go in there and I say, okay, I've contributed my $5,500 for the year. We put our money in our annual allotment. And then also I'm getting rent. Uh-oh, I got more money. I don't want it sitting there. I want it doing something, right? So it's a good problem to have. And truly, you have freedom to decide.
One SRI says, thank you guys. My wife finally started watching your videos. Thank you. Good job. Good job twisting her arm.
Thank you, wife.
And getting her financially intelligent. That's our whole goal. All right, let's wrap it up with this final question. Here's a good one about military. And Haley, see if you can handle this one. Priya Islam says, my husband is an active duty Marine. Thank you for your service and thank you for your family's service. He has a TSP. We've asked if we can direct the TSP to an IRA. We were told no, that as long as he's active, he cannot transfer it. Would you recommend using a TSP to invest? What are your thoughts on that?
So the information that you received is accurate. Since he's active military, a lot of times that's not going to release the funds in order for you to roll those over into like a self-directed IRA or even just a regular IRA. Now, once he becomes inactive, that is something that you can do at that point. You can roll those over because they're no longer tied to his current position or his role with the company.
Okay. Great.
But is she eligible to start an IRA separately?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can do that anytime you want, right?
Okay.
So yeah, that's the key here, right? You're not limited by what you currently have. You can. What does the federal government allow you to contribute every year into a self-directed account? Is it $5,500 a year?
Exactly. Yes. The same contributions, same distribution limits.
So the killer strategy here is that, and we're going to do some higher level episodes here and advanced strategies for incorporating your family. Something Natalie and I were talking about yesterday on our plane ride back from looking at our rental properties and so forth. We're talking about helping people understand that you can have your children, if you've got three kids, have them set up self-directed IRA accounts, right? Get them set up with a self-directed IRA account, contribute that $5,500 a year into your children's accounts, right? Then that lowers your taxable burden as a family. So if you have a business, it lowers your overall taxable income as a family, and you're building this amazing retirement vehicle. guess what? Your children, your three kids, can then lend out or even buy real estate within their self-directed accounts. So you could start them off when they're 3 years old building wealth. I mean, these are the advanced strategies you can really think about, right, Haley?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so they could basically just service a loan for someone else to purchase a property.
Our 6 and our 8-year-old both have are notes. Lenders.
Yeah, they're lenders.
They both have 2 notes each in their IRAs. Yep.
Mom and dad money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're reducing our overall burden income. And these are the, you know, tax strategies we talk about with the great Tom Wheelwright and so forth. So Haley, again, I want to let people know they can get in contact with you. Very, very simple. Just go to our website. It's right there in the chat thread, morrisinvest.com. And if you're going to book a call with our team in order to start investing in real estate, great. Haley's, you know, incredibly knowledgeable about this process. So you go through the 8 questions. We just need your name, your phone number, your email address, and it'll ask you what your goals are for investing. And when you get to the, I think, number 8, they ask the question on how do you plan on buying it, either using your retirement funds. If you click on that, then you'll be connected with Haley and the team to be able to help you in that regard. So any parting words of wisdom, Haley, on this strategy?
Yeah, I would say it's no time like today to really look into self-direction and see if it's an option to help maybe accelerate your opportunity to reach your financial freedom number faster.
Wonderful. And our thanks to all of you for watching today's episode. Please subscribe if you're not already a subscriber. We publish videos and shows regularly. And of course, we're live. We try to be, unless we're traveling or something, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So you can subscribe. We try to do these shows to help you build financial intelligence. Any final thoughts?
No, I don't have any final thoughts.
That's a great thought right there. We'll see you next time, everyone. And now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. We believe it's the number one way to build wealth. Get back to work, everyone. We'll see you next time.